This is Lori Prox, and we have a special treat here in the studio today. We have members of the class of 1965, Valdez, Rodney Schaefer, John Dewing, and Donna Gifford. You're having a bit of a reunion, so tell us about that.
Well, we, John Dewing here, we had a reunion back in 2005, and we started off to do it the class of 65, but it quickly became anybody that was in high school in the 1960s, and the class of, 30-something showed up, John 38, John Kelsey, who else? There were two or three other people that showed up,
Harrison McElroy?
Yes.
Francis Harris and Jan McElroy.
Yes, from the class of 38. But since 2005, we've lost another member of the class of 65. Kathy Rogers Subi passed away a year and a half ago. And so we said, we've got to do this before any more thin out.
And what are your plans for this reunion? And who's coming?
Well, basically, we have four of us that graduated with a high school, and we've got Rod Schaefer, Donna Gifford, and Rob Kendall, who were in the class at some time during the school years. And basically, we're getting together tonight, going to have a soda pop and tell lies and war stories. And then Saturday, we're going to go to the museum because the old town is the town we remember, and we want to look at the houses and talk about the things we did as kids and some things we don't want to talk about. And then we're having a sit-down dinner on Saturday evening, and then Sunday we're going back home.
And where is home, John?
Home for me is Bellingham, Washington.
And where are the rest of the members of your class?
Oh, good grief. Mary Lockwood lives in Anchorage. Barry Bracken lives in Petersburg. Ronnie Gilson lives right here in Valdez. Rod, where are you from?
I'm from Mesa, Arizona. And it's very nice to be here. I haven't seen a scorpion or a snake.
Yeah,
perfect.
None of that.
Perfect. And it's cool.
And the weather is as we remember it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you missed an incredible summer. So why now? I know as of recent years, the high school kids have kind of grabbed on to Gold Rush days as the time to have their reunion. And in particular, the wine walk. It's great. You go out and walk around town and there's just kids from... You know, I've been here 20 years, and I see about one from every class.
We originally thought that it would be nice to pile on with the seniors in May when they graduate, but Ronnie said, no, that's the kids' moments to shine, not ours. We're old folks. Let's not get in the way. We thought about the Gold Rush days, but confusing, too much going on, perhaps, and so we decided on September because... things have quieted down a little bit.
Well, you'll have lots of time to visit and catch up. Tell us a little bit, though, about being a child in Valdez. Now, this is 64 was the earthquake. You graduated in 65. So you actually had most of your childhood in Valdez prior to the earthquake.
Absolutely.
And so let's go there first, and then we'll talk about what happened after.
Well, I arrived in Valdez in August 1954. It was the territory of Alaska back then, to put it in perspective. And I was here right up through and including graduation. But during the earthquake, it happened to be a three-day weekend. School was off on Good Friday. So my father and I went to Anchorage, and I was in Anchorage during the earthquake. I'll just turn it over to Donna because I think she was here.
You know, I never knew that. This is Donna Gifford, and I've been in Valdez since 1950, and I too lived here, but I just now I'm learning that John was in Anchorage. I was also up there my husband was going to a surveying school, so we were up there for 6 weeks. Six weeks. Anyway, I just wanted to interject that there right now.
And Rodney, were you here?
For the earthquake? No, I was not. So I'm pre-earthquake. I was here in 53, I loved it. I mean, as growing up as a child in a small town like this, and
in small town, what was the population?
550, maybe.
Yeah.
On a good day?
The 1960 census had it as officially 555, and it might have been 557 or 58. But
and they counted all the critters, too.
Yeah, it wasn't very big.
And everybody, you know, everybody knew everybody. You didn't get too far away. There were a lot of moms that looked out for everybody, and that was always nice. But we also had a lot of freedom. We could hop on our bikes and travel 5 miles with our fishing poles and guns or whatever else we were going to do. And it was a great time. It was great.
And now it's snowboarding and skiing. So what were the big pastimes?
We did a lot of hunting of ptarmigan in the winter, a lot of snowshoeing, not much skiing, a lot of sledding. The old Valdez was very, very windy in the winter, and the streets were polished by the wind to a high shine, and we used to ride our sleds up and down the streets and pull our jackets up and use them as a sail behind us and scoot up and down the town streets. We had a wonderful time.
Did you ride on bumpers?
Yeah.
That was fun.
I think they still do that.
Oh, do they? That's good. I'm glad that hasn't passed on.
Yeah, we actually ice skated in the streets. They didn't scarfire them, so we could ice skate in them. I work up at the high school right now, and I like to tell the kids a story of, I know everyone's aware of how firearms are not allowed or even looking like it. Well, back then, the kids used to take their loaded rifles to school, put them in their locker, go ptarmigan hunting, put the ptarmigan in there, take them home after school. It's like the world
nothing
is
like a
the world has really
been
changed.
In the locker for a couple of weeks, right?
we were very, very responsible at an early age, and when we went hunting ptarmigan, we knew that if we killed the entire flock, there wouldn't be any the next winter. So we had that built into our minds already. Summer we played baseball, softball in the streets. We'd go down to the old cannery dock, and we'd fish for sharks or anything else that got in the way.
And you caught sharks.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yeah.
And in doing some history, I've written some history for Valdez Fish Derbies about the fishing. Fishing was not a hot thing here in Valdez until about 50 years ago. I think maybe 55 years ago now, that's when people said, hey, this could be a thing, the hatchery developed. And all of that. I think a lot of people assume that that was a big thing, but it wasn't nearly as big, right?
There were a lot of fishermen lived out of here. My father was one, but they delivered in Cordova or other places. There was no place to process here.
Yeah.
So a bit of commercial fishing, but in terms of
sport
fishing? There
were still boats. Yeah, sports fishing.
And we had a dock that was called the Cannery Dock, and I don't ever remember, I can't recall if it was operating.
I actually worked there 1 year. I can't remember what year. It was before I got my Social Security card, and you couldn't get them back then until you were 16. And I started just before that, but I was, we froze king crab. They brought them into here.
Yeah.
So I know they did that 1 year.
Yeah, they actually worked that dock because my mom worked down there, cleaning fish and stuff. But it was, I think, as far as sport fishing, no.
What was the main industry back there? What were your parents doing?
My father was a mechanic for the Bureau of Public Roads when statehood occurred, and then it transitioned to the state of Alaska.
Yeah, my father was a fisherman, truck driver, mechanic.
Yeah, my father, jack of all trades, master of none, drove truck, worked for Stiss as a mechanic there for a while, worked for the state on the road crews.
Stiss was the local Ford dealership.
In Valdez?
Yes, in Valdez.
Oh, I also want to stick in there my father, gold mine, because there were people around here doing that,
All right, and statehood, you were in school.
Yep, 1959.
Tell us how that felt. What was it? we see the big headlines,
we burnt down a big old house that was in the middle of town. They lighted it on fire, and we had a big bonfire.
And how much did you understand about what that meant?
Didn't understand much about it at all. But
it was a party.
It was a party, and Donna's
absolutely right. We were 12.
The house fire. John Gilson owned this old house, and in celebration, he torched it.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Great thing to do. Now, what about once you got into school? And I know I have done a series of interviews with. It was actually quite fun with Tom Gilson. I think we had John Harris and Bill Walker, and actually bringing them back to the days of basketball and traveling. Yeah. around and telling stories on each other.
Yeah.
So what was the feeling with school spirit, school sports? What were the things that were important in school?
I don't think we ever won any tournaments that I recall, but we always got the sportsmanship trophy. We always played basketball because there was nothing else to do in the winter, and we loved it. We were a great team, and we traveled to Cordova one time on the motor vessel Gypsy, which was destroyed in the earthquake. One time we took the Chilcat. We used to fly on Cordova Airlines in the DC-3. We actually drove to Nana, 425 miles away after the earthquake, because Volkswagen of America gave the city of Valdez, or the Valdez High School, a black Vanagon bus, and it was the coldest bus on earth. And we drove for 425 miles, and it took the first half of the game for our Converse tennis shoes to thaw out so they could grip the floor. It was just a terrible ride, but it was, we loved it because it was an escape from Valdez to go out and see what's going on in the rest of the world.
And you mentioned Cordova, huge history with
the rivalry.
Going over to Cordova. Did you meet kids and get to know kids from other areas?
Oh, yeah. We actually stayed, you know, like now they house the kids in the schools. We actually stayed with the families. They didn't, you know, anyway, we stayed right in their homes. So.
And it was reversed. When they came here, we took them in.
Yeah. And it sounds from those gentlemen I talked to, there weren't as many rules, perhaps, back then.
Well, there were rules, but
they told a few stories.
Yeah, we had a wonderful time, and it was like I say, we were pretty responsible and pretty mature for our age, and we knew pretty much what the boundaries were, and we pretty much behaved ourselves.
So it sounds like a great childhood here in Valdez for all of you. And I know, Donna, you raised your children here in Valdez.
Yes.
John, did you?
No, I did not.
And Rodney, did you? And
no. In fact,
do you wish you had, or are there things that, you know, what are the striking differences?
The striking difference is the size of the town. I mean, it's you've got paved streets. We didn't have paved streets. The library in 1958, the town was hurting for money. They had a small, I think it was a 3% sales tax that raised funds for the town. But the library didn't have money to fire up the old oil-fired stove. So when you went to check out books in the library, the librarian assistants, the young girls who were probably a couple grades ahead of you in school, were wearing mittens and gloves and would take them off and fill out the library card. And then you'd take your Hardy Boy books and go home.
You know... It was a great place to grow up, and at the time, you know, you didn't know any better. You didn't know what else was available to you. And I guess when I look back and, you know, would I have brought my kids here to raise them? Probably not. You know, I think there were a lot of things that they were offered in larger places. My kids grew up in Seattle, for instance, and went to school there. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think that there was some advantages. But just being here as a child, and this is what you knew. And you talk about sports, this town turned out for our sports. Did we win tournaments? No. But everybody in town came to the game. Everybody. You know, Friday night, the gym was full. All 557 of them.
The whole town.
Yeah, the only thing I can remember us having is volleyball and basketball.
Yeah.
I don't think we had any other sports other than softball in the summer we horsed with.
But. We also had track. We ran cross-country track because I remember going to Palmer.
And that's just now recently come back to Valdez.
Yeah. Cross-country track and spring track. As a matter of fact, I've got some pictures of Jim Groudon, who was killed in the earthquake of 64 at Fort Richardson at a track meet. We stayed at the Y downtown.
Yeah, I remember him whipping my butt in the last half mile. Yeah. Just like cross the line. It's tough. But it was fun, yeah. Those kinds of things happen. Yeah.
And Donna, what about you, raising your children here?
Well, all four of mine were raised here, and three of them took off for 20 years and then came back. I'm sorry, one of them is still gone. Two of them took off for 20 years and came back. One of them hasn't been gone 20 years yet. And the other one took off for a few months and decided this was home. I, not knowing any different. I'm glad mine were raised here, but then when it's scary when they're let out in the world because it's so different. Even just going to Anchorage, it's like, oh my Lord, how do I even know where they are or what's going on? So It's like any other town in the world. It's just smaller, and you know everybody or are related to them. That's the only difference that I can see now.
One interesting thing, too, the Valdez that we knew as kids didn't have television.
Nope, not until 1975.
And basically, the radio reception was very, very weather dependent. Sometimes you could get Anchorage, but in the winter you could always get San Francisco. It would the waves would bounce KGL. In under the clouds.
Yeah, I know we used to sit and watch that radio all the time. Yeah. I mean, you literally did. You laid on the I laid on the floor and watched it. That's how we listened to it.
So I tell kids, since we didn't have television or radio, we learned to read, and we read a lot. The Hardy Boy books I mentioned, it was one series. But
Nancy Drew.
and National Geographic magazines, we were very, very avid readers as kids. Because in the winter, you know, when the sun goes down and the snow is snowing, there's not much to do except read books.
But we did socialize as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big deal. We played.
Yeah.
I mean, we literally played.
Yeah.
And we're allowed to play.
Yeah.
We had the freedom to play. Yeah. That was fun.
That's the one thing I liked. It wasn't structured. You got to go do this or got to go do this. We just went out there with the boxes and the shovels and the sticks and played. And you can invent things and use your brain more. I really miss seeing kids doing that. I think it's coming back a little more, and I like that.
Yeah. All right. And we've talked about some of your experiences. Can you tell us about some of the people in your class? I'm sure they all have a story to tell, but maybe we could share a few of those.
Let's see. We're looking at that.
And I think you had
so
mentioned
long ago.
You characterized the class. You have a picture of when you were, I think you said, second or third grade, and there's an awful lot of kids in that class. But by the time high school graduation came around, 7 was the graduating class.
Yeah, a couple got held back in grade school, and kids don't have a lot of choice where their parents live. So there's a picture in the picture. It shows Dennis Egan. Well, Dennis is son of Governor Egan, so they moved off. And I look through the kids here, and I see a few I don't recognize. But Rodney's cousin, she was in the picture.
Yeah, Noma. Yeah.
And I'm not sure where they moved to.
They're in Boise, Idaho now. You know, I think it's right. I think the earthquake was a big factor that changed a lot of people's lives. A lot of, you know, their homes were destroyed. They had to move elsewhere. And then coming back was tougher. So, you know, you had 7 hardy folks. Either they were hardy or they didn't have anywhere else to go.
Yeah.
We're not sure.
You know, you asked the question, what was going on in town? Well, there was a little bit of fishing, some tourism, but transportation was the big key for Valdez. And this picture shows that, because in the background are a couple of tankers, semis. And as kids, the Alaska Steamship boat used to arrive on Friday, or if there was winds in the Gulf, it would blow in on Saturday. But around Wednesday, the streets of Valdez would start to be full of trucks parked along the side of the road. And then, I mean, there would be a couple hundred of them. And in the old Valdez, there was Alaska Freight Lines, Garrison Fast Freight, Weaver Brothers, and they used to have a thing called the Truck Rodeo. Which was a contest of the best truck drivers.
Yeah, I've got one of the books at home from that my dad gave to me.
Yeah, yeah. Just a very, very dynamic little town from a transportation perspective. In 1958, I think it was, they hauled one of the parts to the nuclear reactor that was at Fort Greeley through Valdez. And I remember watching that go by, because it was an oversized load, obviously, and lots of security and escorts for it.
Well, and I've talked to people. Explain what it's like when the boats come in.
We all ran down there and watched it come in, but thank God I didn't. Or, you know, I was in Anchorage, and we didn't on the day we lost everybody.
Friday.
So,
yeah.
But Earthquake. That's generally wherever we always went down there just to watch the boat come in and unload.
And that was just a little piece of outside, right?
Yes, a little piece of outside, and you know, it was always funny, the excuse when you ordered something from out of state, because there wasn't much here, and the Sears catalog was pretty important, and the old standard joke was, well, where's this or where's that? You'd order something from a local store, and they'd say it's on the next boat. So that became the standard excuse. It's on the next boat, which was funny, but the other side of that was, is if you, if the the boat came in with a load of bananas. Every kid in town had a banana in their lunch on Monday, and that's just the way it was. Yeah.
And what about getting in supplies? How reliant were you on subsistence and eating ptarmigan all year, or how much of that was brought in?
Everything was brought in. Everything was canned or frozen.
Yeah, and my mother used to.
Thus, I still like it.
Do lots of canning of salmon.
Yeah.
Dad would catch salmon, and she would can them in glass jars. We did a fair amount of berry picking, but it was not a subsistence lifestyle. The salmon and the halibut and seafood and moose was something that was to augment the diet in a lot of cases.
Yeah, caribou. We did caribou hunting every year, but it wasn't. It wasn't because you had to. It's because you wanted to.
Yeah.
And that was just an addition to the... But yeah, everything came... You depended on either air or boat. I mean, I was a paper boy for a while, and sometimes, you know, the paper didn't come in because a plane couldn't come in for a week. So then you had seven papers to deliver.
Yeah, I remember one Christmas. Yeah. We had Christmas. It seems to me like it was 2 weeks late, but it was probably just a couple days because the truck didn't come in with any of the presents, and of course there was more than just my family affected, and I remember at least everyone around us. It's like, well, Santa Claus just hasn't made it here yet.
It's on the next boat.
Yeah. It was the Thompson Pass was closed, so they just didn't make it in.
Yeah. And it was a great little town because we had small classes. I mean, it was almost like tutoring. When I was a senior, there were four boys in the class, and we all took trigonometry, and H.O. Williams, the school principal and also the math teacher, we each had a blackboard, and he would come in and give us the problem and then disappear and come back half an hour later to make sure we were still working on it. But it was tutoring. It really, really was.
Now, John, the kids aren't going to know what a blackboard is.
A Promethean board.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun in school because the classes were small, and we were really blessed with good teachers. I mean, some very, very dedicated people. One of the challenges, though, is you know, one year that the language teacher would be teaching French, Mrs. Ziegler, for example, and then the next year it would be somebody else, and they would be teaching Spanish.
Which sounded like French?
It was a romance language, you know? And that was as close as it got.
When you say multilingual, it's really multilingual, yeah.
Now, who were some of the adults in your life that really, it sounds like they made a great place for children to be? Do you recall who some of the movers and shakers were who were making things happen?
Yes, and in the back of the paper there that Gloria Day published, the Days were very, very influential. But in the back of it, it's got Gilson's Mercantile, and I worked in the butcher shop, and as a matter of fact, in this newspaper from July 3, 1963, it's got John's rotisserie specials. I worked in the butcher shop, and I ran the rotisserie on the weekends. Rod worked for Gilson's in the bakery, so George was a real influential part of our life. Rod?
I think we all worked for him, really. At some point in time, everybody worked for him, and it was great. He was fair. He taught us how to, a good work ethic. But I think there were lots of people in town. Like I said earlier, we all had multiple mothers, and they all looked out for us. You know, whether it was, May Ecomo, who was the nurse and would help you when you got fish hooks stuck in your cheek and you know, or broke your arm or whatever it was, or it was John's mom or my mom or Donna's. Everybody sort of looked out after everybody, and they chaperoned our dances. You know, they did Cub Scouts, they taught Bible school and all this stuff. So I think it was a group effort.
Yeah, John's mother, Katie, taught me in Girl Scouts. I learned a lot from her, and also my own mother, Florence Dipman.
My dad used to drive the 56 Chevy when we'd go on basketball trips. We'd pile in, and we'd drive to Glen Allen, to the old Copper Center School, the Catholic boarding school that was up there. It was a great, great life. And the parents were really involved in our lives. And Rod's absolutely right. Almost any parent in town had a license to discipline somebody else's kids. And there was no hesitation to scream and shout at us if we needed it. And Rod's mom always had a cookie on the countertop.
And you had mentioned you've gone through a lot of, you know, the 1964 earthquake. You mentioned Vietnam. This, you've really, what are the defining moments or things in the outside world that really kind of, or in the state of Alaska that really kind of happened during your tenure here in Valdez?
Well, let's see. The earthquake was one. The assassination of JFK was the other.
The first governor of Alaska used to deliver groceries to our house, Bill Egan. So that was neat to me.
Bill,
I mean, he lived right next door to me, and you'd call the store and say, Bill, we need this and this, and they'd box it up and just bring them to your house. That's how we got our groceries. Well, you could go shop, but it was really, when I think about it, it's really strange. Nobody does that anymore.
Yeah, Gilson's used to have a 63 or 64 Ford Falcon, a little white one, and we used to drive around town delivering groceries in it. I was swimming out at Robe Lake one day, and I had my dad's 56 Chevy with my date, and we were swimming, and Bill and Neva drove up, and he says, hi, John. Hi, Shelley. He knew all of the kids in town.
And he remembered everybody's name and always did till the day he died. He was like that.
Yes. So we were alive with one of Alaska's great historical figures. And as a matter of fact, he was the guest speaker at the graduation for the class of 1965.
Nice. Yeah. So what is the one thing you think, wow, I wish hadn't changed in Valdez? The one thing you say, that's too bad.
Nothing for me, because one little change changes too much, so I'm good.
Yeah, I can't, I can't think of anything that offends me about change. It just happens, and I think the town is it's still a great little town.
Well, and then what's the one thing, what are a couple things that you come back and you say, wow, that is cool, that's great?
Well, I look at the city facilities. I mean, the library, the police department.
They have heat there now.
Yeah. They have heat
and books.
And books. And the town has a huge police and fire department. Back then, everything was volunteer. We had one policeman. His name was Horizontal. Earl Smith. His nickname was Horizontal, for obvious reasons. We see quite a change in the public facilities here, and the school. There were 52 kids in the old school, the junior senior high school.
Well, it kind of comes full circle with the George H. Gilson.
Yeah. Yes.
Middle school. Was that when you heard about the naming of that? Was that personal to you?
Oh, yeah, it was to me.
Yeah.
Back when they just built the new one and started in, the kids started going into it last year, we weren't really sure if they were going to keep that name on there. Other people were, maybe, but I'm glad they did, because they should have.
Yeah, we had a lot of heroes, and George Gilson is truly one of the main ones, yeah.
All too right. many to name, actually, but
yeah that's
you're
true.
Absolutely right.
Yep. And we wanted you in to kind of share some stories. I don't know if you have other... John has quite the... I'm going to try to put some of this in our email newspaper. There's an old Valdez News. So we're going to try to scan that and get that in, as well as this picture that we've been talking about of the kids in second, third grade, for people to take a gander. Yeah. We'll try to get that in for Monday. But is there anything else you wanted to... Sure, you're very excited to be back here, and I know John called me like months ago and said, hey, I'm coming this date, and then called again and said, that date's coming. So fun to have you back. You're kind of on a mission.
Oh, we really, really are, and there are a few people that we want to swing by the senior center and say hi to them, and there are other people in town, like Rod's from Arizona, so this is a opportunity to see some people that he remembers.
Now, if people hear this today and they want to get with you, is there an opportunity, because this will play at noon and 6 o'clock today, is there an opportunity for folks to meet up with you, or you can give a phone number on the air?
Well, we are planning and getting together kind of as a start to reacquaint at the Wheelhouse Lounge tonight around 6 o'clock. That's obviously it'll start earlier than that. We're gonna swing by the
old. So we don't do the Rhine Walk anymore. We have to sit and drink.
We're going to visit the Old Town Museum tomorrow at 10 o'clock because we want to refresh our memory of the Old Town. And then, weather permitting, we may swing out to the Old Town site tomorrow at the old Post Office Foundation and have our picture taken. And then tomorrow night we're going to have Off the Hook Grill. We're going to have a sit-down dinner. But people can pile on, visit us at the museum or tonight and swing by. And
it would be nice if people come tonight. That would be fun. Because I really, I don't get here very often. So, and I'm, to be honest with you, I'm not sure I would come back at this stage in my life. If this is,
it's hard to go visit everyone. So.
Yeah. So if they would all come down, John will buy drinks and it'll be warm. It'll be great. Great.
And I've got lots of pictures of the class of 66. I'm going to bring out, I've got loads of pictures and other things from our era that are worth looking at and basically just spark conversations.
Yeah, I'll bring some stuff too because I lost almost everything I had in the earthquake, but when my father passed away, I got a whole box full of stuff, and so I've kind of been reinventing since 1990 and finding things.
All right. Well, that's 6 o'clock at the Wheelhouse tonight if people want to stop by and say hello, check out some pictures. Thank you so much for coming in. What a wonderful interview we've had here, and I will put this on our podcast page on our website as well so that if there's people in your class that couldn't make it, they can visit our website and listen in.
Absolutely. Super. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lori.